In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Truly.
I don't know if any of you caught, there was a typographical error in the epistle reading we heard, if you were reading along. Anybody catch that? We corrected it so Joan wouldn't read the wrong thing. She did very, very well with that. Something slight. It said that when Tabitha was ill and dying, they sent some men to Peter to get him, and they said, please come without delay. Well, it was printed in the bulletin with delay, so certainly wouldn't want him to delay getting there. So in case anybody sees that and says, oh, we typed it out wrong, I caught that. We, in the church, in the Christian understanding of the gospel and the Old Testament, you know, we understand a certain relationship between the two, and we describe it as the scriptures being a promise and the gospel being a fulfillment of that promise. Scripture as promise and the gospel as fulfillment of the promise. This is how our understanding of the gospel is taught. You know, when we say scriptures, of course, we mean the Old Testament scriptures, those writings that were for hundreds of years the Word of God that was revealed to the people. This was God's revelation to His people, these Old Testament scriptures. A lot of us today maybe aren't as familiar with the Old Testament. Maybe we don't read it as much. Some of us don't even like it. I hear that from time to time. We don't like the Old Testament. We know the New Testament as our primary source of the Word of God today in the church. But the New Testament, the preaching of the gospel, and our understanding of it is based in the scriptures, everything that came before, everything that God promised beforehand, we now see being fulfilled in the gospels. That's important to understand that. It enriches our reading and our appreciation. You can't really understand what's going on fully in the New Testament if you don't know what came before it and what's being fulfilled now in the Gospels. So we try to make those connections as often as we can. In today's Gospel, we see a wonderful illustration of that very thing. You know, this is a healing parable from the Gospel of John, and certain details about this Gospel should trigger in our minds that something important is happening, and it is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures in this action of Jesus, in this thing He's doing. And actually, the thing that He's doing is He's healing by His word alone. So the details that we hear in that gospel are, first of all, the pool, it says, has five porticos. Five. Now, in the first century mind, if they were familiar with the scriptures, five would ring a bell and they would think, you know, the Torah. There were five books of the law. They often call them the five books of Moses. So there were five gates to this pool. It also says that he had been sick for 38 years, and that would trigger in people's minds as well the period of wandering in the wilderness that the Israelites did. 38 years. So a couple of connections there to Old Covenant, to God's promise, and to the Scriptures. And as we know from the narrative that we heard today, nothing's happening. This man is sick, and he's not getting well. So he needs something else. You know, this, the Old Covenant, as it were, is not healing him. So what happens is Jesus comes and asks him, "Do you want to be made well?" And he explains his situation, what the problem is. And Jesus tells him simply, "Get up." The Word of God heals him. The Word of God heals him. Jesus is able to do with His Word what the Mosaic Law could not. You know, and all those references to the Mosaic Law, we said. The 38 years, the five porticos, and so forth. And the fact that this healing took place on a Sabbath, you know, is interesting. That was God's holy day that He ordained, and He told Moses to have the people keep it holy, right? And the leaders of the Jews were kind of indignant. Why was this healing done on the Sabbath? Well, this is the very thing that the man needed, right? They were kind of using the law against him. Why was this happening? It shouldn't be done. Okay, but Jesus comes and he overrides the law because he is the fulfillment of the law. He is what that law was given for. He is what it means. You know, in the Christian understanding, Sabbath, we don't keep the Sabbath as the Saturday is a Sabbath. We don't keep that day as a day where nobody works. And we don't have those restrictions and prohibitions that they had in the Mosaic Law. We understand Sabbath and everything that came before as being fulfilled on the day that Jesus rested in the tomb. You know, Jesus rested in the tomb and he descended into Hades and he freed all the dead that were there. God's great work of salvation was wrought, was worked on that Sabbath day. So every Sabbath points to the great Sabbath, the Christian, the church understandings about fulfillment. So this man gets healed. He's made to rise and to walk again after having been ill for 38 years. And it's because Jesus spoke his word to him. So we might want to think about what this means for us today. You know, the Mosaic Law, it's still kind of in our day-to-day Christian life maybe a little obscure. You know, we know that there are some things written in the Old Testament that are very strict. They're hard to read and hard to understand sometimes. You know, we don't know why God is doing this and why he's telling people that they need to do this. He's trying to identify for himself a people that would obey him and that would belong to him and would love him enough to do as he commands. That's what God's doing under the old covenant. He's making a people for himself, and he makes a covenant with them. I will be your God, you will be my people, if you do these commandments. And he tells them all about life and worship and holiness, and what it means to be a child of that God, of the God. And he makes them promises that he will deliver them from the bondage of their enemies. The Israelites were under the bondage of Egypt. They were slaves and they were very badly mistreated. He promised he would free them. Our understanding today is that not only did God do that, but he also freed the entire human race from the bondage of sin and death. That's the great Passover that we remember. You know, Jesus' passion on the cross, his entombment, his resurrection from the dead, frees us from our enemy, the great enemy, which is sin and death and destruction. That's our understanding of fulfillment. So, the law that God gave Moses, you know, was good, and we can't criticize it. The only thing we could say is that it didn't do what it was intended to do because the people were, as people are, you know, fallible. We're in our sins. We don't obey. We aren't good at listening to God's word and doing as he says. So the very fact that the people couldn't keep the law does not take away from the fact that this was given by God and it's good and it was for people's building up and instruction. But now we see the fulfillment of all of this in the things we just celebrated several weeks ago, just a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks, the passion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of God's promises are now fulfilled in a person. And what we have to do is belong to him and bear fruit. I want to just focus on bearing fruit today because there's a word that we heard in the gospel today. Well, the icon over here says the paralytic in Greek. And we call this the Sunday of the paralytic. And we say that this man was paralyzed. And we call him a paralytic. Sometimes the English words are a little misleading and we don't get the full value of what's being said here. In this gospel, the word that's translated paralyzed is everywhere else in the New Testament translated as dried up or withered. Dried up or withered, like an old twig or leaves. And sometimes when translators in English don't know how to apply that adjective to a situation, they give it something that's more familiar. So they called it paralyzed. But really, it's a little bit different. Because if we think about that man as being dried up, you know, maybe the translators of the New Testament didn't know how to apply that to a person, so they substituted the word. But that's a serious spiritual crisis. If we're dry, if we're withered up, the one thing we can't do is be fruitful. And that's the thing that God demands of us. You know, we don't want to be dried up and withered and fruitless, but we want to be somebody who bears fruit for God in our life and in our faith. The very beginning of the Gospels in Matthew and Luke, John the Baptist goes out preaching, and he tells the people that come to hear him, he says, bear fruits that are worthy of repentance. Don't begin to think to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Don't begin to think that. God is able to raise up from these stones children of Abraham. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut and thrown into the fire. So if we're fruitless, if we're dried up, like this man is in the gospel today, we're doomed. We have no hope. You know, if that's our condition, we need to figure out how to be healed. So this man in the gospel was healed. He listened to Jesus' word, and he got up, and he was made whole again. Remember, in the scriptures, physical infirmity and sickness, the physical stuff, is always a reflection of a spiritual situation. You know, it's kind of a manifestation of it. So this man had sins, like we all have sins, and he was to the point where he would not be bearing fruit for God. So Jesus came along and healed him. So what can we do about that in our lives? What can we do to be fruitful? Well, we know we must. We know we must. They asked John the Baptist the same thing in the Gospels. Well, what, tell us what we have to do now. And then he goes through a few things. He says, if you have two coats, give one to somebody who doesn't have. You know, if you're a tax collector, well, the tax collectors say, and what can we do? He says, don't take any more than you're supposed to. You know, be fair in your dealings with people. If you have two loaves of bread, give to the one who doesn't. In other words, love as God has commanded us to love. This is what we must do. This is how we bear fruit in our lives. It's interesting that we hear this today, being the third Sunday after Pascha, because, you know, on Good Friday evening, we sing lamentations or praises for Christ in the tomb, and then when we come out after our procession, we read the prophecy of Ezekiel. And that prophecy, I'll jog your memory here just a little bit, is all about dry and withered up, and what's about to happen to that. This is what Ezekiel says. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me round among them. And behold, there were very many upon the valley, and lo, they were very dry. That's the same word in this gospel that we heard that's called paralyzed. They were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. So if we're dried up, if we're living a life not bearing fruit, we will be cut off as well. How do we get to the point where we're living a life that's fruitful to God and is making a real difference? Well, we love, as we said. You know, we keep the commandments. We hear the Word of God and are true to it. We participate in the life of the church. You know, this church, this body of Christ, represents the fulfillment of all of God's promises. This is heaven right now on earth until the Lord comes again. Our worship today is the worship that they do in heaven. So we eat and drink in the kingdom, in a manner of speaking. We partake of the life-giving body and blood of our Lord Jesus. That's one way. We forgive those who have wronged us. If we hold on to our sinful humanness and our stubbornness, and if we're hard, then we will dry up. We will dry up. And all of us have sins. All of us have faults, shortcomings. We confess them to God. We bring them to the church and we say, here's what's going on. This is how I am. I don't want to be like this. Okay? And the church prays for us and restores us. And God forgives us. If we can do those things, we have a chance of bearing fruit. We never want to say, as they said in the beginning of the Gospels, we have Abraham as our father. You know, we never want to think, oh, my mom and dad were great Orthodox Christians. They baptized me. Even if we had great godparents, you know, to a certain point, we're then responsible for our own lives. Just because we were baptized one point in history many, many years ago does not mean we have a guaranteed ticket to heaven. We have to live that out every day. We have to live a life of keeping the commandments of loving God and loving our neighbor and a sacramental life in the church. So all these things are here for us, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us be glad that God has shown us this fulfillment. You know, for many, many people, for many centuries, this fulfillment of the faith was just a promise. It was just something that was hinted at. It was just presented in shadows and parables in the Old Testament. Now, today, we see the fulfillment and we're living in it. Thanks be to God. So let us not neglect that. Let us embrace the life of the church and the sacraments, and let us love one another as God has commanded us, so that we would not be the fruitless. We would not be dried up. Right before we came into, well, Holy Week, right at the beginning, we heard that theme about the withered up fig tree that Jesus cursed, remember? And he said, no fruit will ever grow from you again, because it was already dried up and it didn't produce in its right season. We don't want that to happen to us. We want to bear fruit while we're here, living in the world that God has given us, and the people and the relationships and the life that he has entrusted with us. So let us take heed the words of the gospel and pray that our Lord would be merciful to us and teach us how to repent, how to live a life in the church, and how to love and build up as he's commanded us to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.